Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents time. It's Dueling Tangents time, everybody. Well, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That over there is Luke. You're coming to us live on the southern swath of Wisconsin. I am the Waukesha part of the southern swath of Wisconsin on 540 AM as well as 1580 AM. Over on your side. Sorry, your volume is killing me, man. I was literally cutting sound on the last second on the way in here, so I'm a little bit flustered. Anyway, it's 5:40 a.m. here in Washington.
No,
it's cool, dude.
We're kind of a little discombobulated here. I am
in problem solving mode right now.
We are. We're scrambling a little bit because we just wrapped up the surprise testimony. It was previously unscheduled before. About afternoon yesterday, like around noon yesterday, we found out that the House Select Committee on January 6th was going to put on another public hearing today. It wasn't on the schedule. They were not set to meet before the 4th of July holiday. They weren't going to be back from recess until after, I believe, not even next week, the following week. They were supposed to be back, like, I want to say July 11th was going to be the first week, July 11th, 12th. 13th, 14th, 15th was going to be the week we would hear from the House Select Committee again. And Brian, they said, we got some stuff to share. And somebody came forward, and it was Cassidy Hutchinson. She was the former executive assistant, essentially, to the chief of staff. She was in the chief of staff's office, Mark Meadows, who was, as they pointed out in today's testimony, the fourth chief of staff for Donald Trump. In his first presidency, went through four chiefs of staff.
He hires usually good people.
He hires the best people, Brian. But we're diving into this. You are listening to us here on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. That's where Brian's broadcast.
That's
from.
Where I am at. And you're in 1580 AM. That's WTTN as well as 92.7 FM Radio.
I'm holding down the fort at the Solidarity Realty Studios, and we want to hear your reactions to this testimony. If you were listening, we were just broadcasting it live on the southern swath of Wisconsin as well as on the Devil Radio app, so you can take our stations with you wherever you go and listen wherever in Wisconsin or around the nation you are.
Anytime you have the internet available.
Right. We want to hear your reaction, though, to this testimony, because, Brian, in my opinion, this might have been the most damning so far.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty indicative, and it's showing a lot of the, as a former president had tweeted out once in his presidency, a lot of smocking guns. We got a lot of smocking guns all over the place.
Smocking guns everywhere.
But if we want to hear your reactions, so give us a call, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. But we had some Wisconsin ties to this testimony, Brian, from the House Select Committee.
Yeah, Mike Gallagher. They played Mike Gallagher at the time.
Yeah, the video that we shared previously leading up to these hearings, we had a feeling that Mike Gallagher and his calling for the president at the time, on January 6th, as the violence was taking place
at
the Capitol, to call it off. He referred to it as banana republic crap.
Yeah, also call it off.
Yeah, call it off.
Not hey, can you tell the other people there, can you tell them to stop it? They seem to want to listen to you or something like that. Call it off as in, hey, I know the plan, call it off.
As in, hey, you're responsible for why the violence is happening, call it off. And so that was the Wisconsin tie that we got most specifically. But we also just learned a lot more information. We got a firsthand account, Brian, for what was going on in and around the Oval Office in the events leading up from January 2nd to January 6th that afternoon. And how the entire, from the speech that morning to the mob marching up to the Capitol and Trump having a... Brian, the former president literally tried to grab the wheel of the beast, which is the presidential vehicle,
to take control from the back seat. He doesn't know how to drive.
No, I can't. What do you think the last time he drove a vehicle was in a movie?
He does think that things happen in movies. He probably thought that he was being like Liam Neeson or Harrison Ford at the time, and he was going to have to say, "Give me back my family." But instead, it's, "Give me back my things. I don't. Oh, I have a family." Like, that's really what he don't care.
Yeah,
about
he probably that's probably a pretty accurate description of his mindset at the time. But he was so upset with the fact that after he left his speech, he told the speechgoers, because they were still speechgoers at that time. They weren't all rioters at that point. Mm-hmm. But he told the people attending his speech, Brian, that he was going to march up to the Capitol. And when the Secret Service did not take him to the Capitol, instead they took him back to the Oval Office in the West Wing, he was furious. But one of the biggest bombshells leading up to that point of the testimony, Brian, he was so upset before going out to take the stage at the Ellipse that day that the crowd size was too small.
I know.
Because Secret Service had set up a perimeter, and there was mags or metal detectors that the speechgoers had to go through, Brian, to be able to go up near the stage. They had to be screened by the Secret Service because they don't want people with weapons going to that close of a vicinity to the president of the United States.
Oh, no, those guns aren't for me. Those guns aren't for me.
That's what the president said.
I mean, they're for me. I mean, they're here for me. I mean, the guns are here for me, but they're not for me
to direct towards the Capitol. And he acknowledged that.
How are they going to do it without the guns?
Cassidy Hutchinson, the witness today before the U.S. House Select Committee for January 6th, she testified saying that Secret Service, before Trump even got to the Ellipse, so in pre-planning, in the advance team of them setting up the perimeter and allowing individuals to go through the metal detectors around the Ellipse to attend the speech, Secret Service was getting reports that weapons were being confiscated and that there was numerous people outside of the actual enclosed area of the speech around the Ellipse. People were staying on the outside of the metal detectors, Brian, because they didn't want their weapons to be confiscated. They had weapons and they didn't want to lose them for what you could only assume to be plans later in the day to use them or threaten to use them. And so Trump was frustrated because not everybody was right up on the stage. So he was instructing from behind the stage in the tent that Cassidy Hutchinson, today's witness, was in. She testified hearing the president say, remove the mags, remove the metal detectors, let them in. I know they have weapons. Those guns aren't for me, like you alluded to, Brian. She heard the president say, let the people with weapons in past the perimeter. They're not going to hurt me. Those weapons aren't for me. Like, he acknowledges that there are individuals there with weapons that he is in getting ready to incite to commit violence. He's telling them to fight like hell. That was a direct quote from that day, Brian.
Yep.
And he wanted the Secret Service to be like, oh, well, forget the perimeter. Let them in. They're not going to hurt me. We're gonna go and we're going to march up to the Capitol and we are going to fight like hell.
Great job.
That is today's testimony, Brian.
Do you think that he was really mad that he didn't get to go to the Capitol because I'm going to try to say this without laughing. Do you think that he was really upset that he couldn't fulfill the promise he made to his followers to be there?
I think
he was mad about I made them a promise I'd be with them. I can't fulfill my promise.
No, I think he knew, Brian, that he was free of criminal investigation because of the Office of Legal Counsel for the president had submitted that memo saying that you can't investigate a sitting president. And this was the final attempt for him to try to continue to be the sitting president, where that legal memo was going to hold water still.
They'll never let me call martial law without a bunch of guns shooting up the Capitol.
I think he knew it was his fleeting chance that if he did not maintain power through a violent overthrow of the U.S. government, with his rioters going up to the Capitol and disrupting the certification of the 2020 election on January 6th, he knew that was his final attempt, Brian, and that is why he was so desperate. That is why he was telling people in the Secret Service to let everybody in, because he wanted the photo op. That was ego. And he wanted the photo op of a big crowd while he was giving his speech, and he knew that the people that couldn't be in that photo had weapons, and they were going to use them to threaten Congress and attack Congress, as we saw unfold.
Do you think he would have walked in there? Do you think he would have walked in there and said, "You can't stop me, I'm the president"?
I think he would have absolutely tried to do what he did during the summer of 2020 when he had the Department of Defense clear protesters from in front of the White House so that he could go take a photo op with an upside down Bible at the church across the street of the White House. I absolutely believe that if he had the security detail and the Secret Service secured it, that he would have attempted to walk right into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and attempt to, if it was successful, Brian, they would have hung Mike Pence and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. They would have done it, and I believe he would have walked right in there.
Martial law, and then put everybody that had that did it to death, and then he would have been clean and free and clear. But again, those people, some people would be free to ravage the countryside, and then you couldn't get rid of the martial law part, and then, oh, well, Trump's there for life, right?
Brian, firsthand testimony that was the events that were unfolding. Firsthand testimony. Cassidy Hutchinson, she was the top-ranking official in the Chief of Staff's office, and she has firsthand accounts of reports from the Secret Service, from members of Congress, from the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, that are all pointing that Donald Trump was trying to overthrow the peaceful transfer of power in the United States on January 6th. Mike Flynn testified, he pled the fifth, Brian, to the question of, do you believe in the peaceful transfer of power? That is what Mike Flynn, General Mike Flynn, testified, I take the fifth in order not to self-incriminate myself.
In answering, I believe in the transfer of power.
Folks,
peacefully.
This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're giving our reactions to today's shocking bombshell testimony from the U.S. House Select Committee on January 6th. Taking your phone calls as well. We want to hear what you think. 844-967-2789. We got a number of other Wisconsin headlines we're going to get to as well.
Trump, take the wheel.
Don't drive angry.
Hey, Luke.
I was just letting it play out, man.
No, I know. do you think Donald Trump ever drove anybody home?
No, I'd be surprised if he actually knew how to drive.
Like, he doesn't drink. Like, that's like one of the things that he doesn't do. He doesn't drink.
Correct.
Do you think that he was the designated driver at any point? Do you think he cared enough to actually, like, do any of that?
Nope. I doubt it.
Do you think he's ever driven a car? Like, seriously.
I don't think he has. I've seen him get behind that big rig where he's like, honk, honk, and that's it. He just, like, jerks around the wheel, acting like he's driving, and then pulls on the horn. And
like, I'm just trying to think of, like, if you're trying to grab it from behind, like, how are you going to – that wasn't thought through. That's like a
– Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We go off on a little tangent to start there because, as the song alluded to, Donald Trump needed somebody to drive him back to the White House because he got into that car, Brian, I believe, with the impression that he was going to be driven up to the U.S. Capitol. Cassidy Hutchinson, today's witness before the U.S. House Select Committee, she testified saying that the other evidence put together by the committee and spoken about by vice chair of the committee, Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney, outlined that leading up to the speech, Trump was under the impression that Secret Service was doing everything they could to do an OTR, an off-the-record move, to get him to the U.S. Capitol. So it wouldn't have been notified on the press avail, that the president's schedule is normally public information. So the press gets information, members of Congress find out, anybody in the public can look at the presidential's schedule and see where he was going to be located at any time. And so they were trying to do an OTR, an off-the-record move, and Trump was under the impression that the Mark Meadows and the chief detail for the Secret Service was working on making that happen. And so when he, during his speech, Brian, said, I'm going to march there right along with you. We're going up to the Capitol together. He thought that he was actually going to go, because I believe he thought that that was his only way to be able to avoid indictment and avoid criminal prosecution for the crimes that he had been committing. Again, he had already been impeached once at that point.
Yeah.
There were already 10 counts laid out by the special counsel of that was led by Mueller. And he said that he could not indict, but because you couldn't indict a sitting president. So there were already 10 counts of obstruction out there that if he was no longer president, could have came back to bite him in the butt. And yeah. In order to avoid those things, he wanted to remain president. So that is the basis for this whole concoction of the big lie. He lied about the election results, even though it was a fairly conducted election that he lost fair and square. He wanted his cronies in the Justice Department to just say it was corrupt and leave the rest to members, him and the members of Congress. He said it.
Think of what was thrown away and destroyed in the path of this man trying to stay right, trying to keep his presidency. Think of all, just for this man's hubris, think of all the things that have been destroyed. He got rid of the pandemic response team because Obama made it.
Because it was one of the things specifically that during the transfer of power from Obama to Trump, that Obama said, hey, this is something you need to keep an eye on.
He wanted to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, not because he had a better plan or anything that he wanted to do instead. Not even because he really had any gain in it whatsoever.
We never saw the health care plan that he had. He kept telling us we had it.
He wanted to get rid of it because he didn't like that Obama did it. He was made fun of by Obama at a White House press conference.
White House correspondence dinner.
And that prompted Trump to run out of spite because of his hubris and how much...
Allegedly.
My point is, how many things have been destroyed because of this man's angry temper, his temperament, the way that he acts, the way that he does things? How much has been destroyed just because of this little toddler-like man?
How much have we not been able to do since 2020? Because he's insistent that something that wasn't stolen from him was stolen from him. We haven't been able to actually address any other problems, Brian, in states around the country. Not that we haven't been able to address any other problems, but a main portion of our focus has had to be on this topic and election issues, because he is insistent that something was stolen from him when it wasn't. He is insistent that there are claims of fraud out there that need to be looked into, even though for more than a year now, Wisconsin Republicans have authorized a review of the 2020 election, and they haven't found anything, Brian. Nada. You've got Michael Gableman, who is being paid thousands of dollars a month, still, even with his salary cut in half, to go and find instances of voter fraud in the 2020 election.
Of which he has found zero.
And which he can only put claims that there was wrongdoing, even though courts have showed
it's
that the private
evidence.
Funding. No. He says there's malfeasance there without actually being able to prove malfeasance. And when they go into the courts and look at the legality and validity of private election donations from the Center for Tech and Civic Life, the Zuckerberg Foundation, that helped more than 200 municipalities around the state conduct their elections in 2020, he's got a problem with the five biggest cities getting that support because, well, those cities they lean towards Democrats. So there's more Democrats voting there, and there's malfeasance. And that is the best allegation that they have. And courts have said that it was legal.
We're doing things bending backwards reality because of the ego of this guy.
Yeah.
Can you?
All around people, a lie.
Like, people have lost family members. Like, they don't talk anymore because of the lies of this dude.
The former president of the United States, yes.
Is it worth it? Totally worth it for you guys? Is he that important? Can you just move on like Al Gore did? Because he's a gentleman? My God.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll get to your phone calls next. 844-967-2789.
Living in a movie.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Welcome back, everybody. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian, that's Luke. Southern swath of Wisconsin, I'm over here in Waukesha on 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're over there on 1580 AM as well as 92.7 FM, Devil Radio. And you can check us out on the Devil Radio app as well as give us a call at 844-967-2789. Give us a call or text 844-96-PARTY. We're reacting to the January 6th hearing, the pop-up hearing, surprise hearing.
Yeah.
Had some things that were surprising, but also kind of not, but also kind of surprising because, again, Trump, Jesus, take the wheel.
Well, I was expecting, Brian, a little bit. I was, because we found out that there is a documentarian that was in the White House from, I believe, September of 2020 into the events of January 6th and beyond. And there's allegedly some never before seen footage. And that's what I was anticipating to come today.
Can't wait though.
But the House Select Committee had a lot of this testimony already on file because along with the in-person appearance before Congress today from Cassidy Hutchinson, the former aide to the chief of staff, Mark Meadows in the Trump White House, along with her in-person testimony today, they played a lot of video testimony that the committee had gathered from Ms. Hutchinson up to this point. And so it was a kind of combination of both live in-person retelling her firsthand account of what she saw unfold from January. They laid out the picture, Brian, from January 2nd to January 6th of what Cassidy Hutchinson experienced in the chief of staff's office for Donald Trump, Mark Meadows, in his office the days leading up to January 6th and during the insurrection, during the violence that was occurring at the Capitol. And I think it is by far the most indicative testimony that we've seen, that there was knowledge that that the president should not travel to the Capitol. The Secret Service kept saying no. They had asked about it several times. Trump was very much wanted to go, though, and to the point where he lunged at a Secret Service agent to take the wheel from the beast, the presidential motorcade, to try to direct the car from, rather than going back to the West Wing, going to the U.S. Capitol. And when he found out that they were going back to the West Wing, he lunged at the clavicle of the head of the Secret Service detail, Brian.
Yeah, that's not the move of a rational man, at the very least.
And apparently, he used violence to lash out and display his anger many times. This was a one-off occasion for the former president. It was par for the course.
That's crazy. He's a spoiled brat.
He used to throw dishes and flip tables, Brian. That's what he used to do in the executive dining room in the White House. And so
are you guys proud? Aren't you proud? And I mean, this is so much better than the former guy who held babies in his office and, you know, played with kids and then, you know, loved his children, that type of stuff. But, you know, thank God that he was here to throw spaghetti at the wall like a real man should.
Ketchup in a well overdone steak.
Yeah. If you can't like if you can't recreate Raging Bull as part of your, you know, daily repertoire, then, you know, what kind of a man are you really? Is that it? You know, maybe, you know, is he just walking around going, maybe he's gotten hit in the head too many times after, you know, reaching into things. I don't know. He's a child. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah,
We promise we go to the phone
lines.
Give us a call, 844-967-2789. If you have a reaction to this January 6th pop-up hearing here, let us know what you think. Here's Mark from the SAC. How you doing, Mark?
Mark, you with us?
I thought you would be, and I wanted you to be.
Fortunately, we're having some problems here in Mark right now. Mark, give us a call back. We'll get you on the air still today if you can figure out what's going on with your phone lines. But, folks, the phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. You can call us. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. And you can call or text that number, 844-967-2789. You can be like Wisco Paul, our friend Wisco Paul, calling in right now. Wisco, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I just very quickly, Trump lost a legitimate election and tried to undo it. I don't know how it gets any worse than that in my mind. I don't think I've ever seen anything this bad in my lifetime. That's all I got to say today before I say something too flippant. Thanks.
Hey, it's nothing that the January 6th hearing hasn't heard before. How about that? Yeah, man. That's it. I don't understand how it's that much. And again, this is just because a little boy didn't get his way. A little boy today just got his way. Mark from the SAC just called back. Mark, how you doing, man? What are your thoughts?
Can you hear us now, Mark?
I can hear you now.
All right.
It's horrible that this toddler has, you know, Brian pointed out, that he's throwing stuff against the wall. I mean, it was just congratulations, and there's a lot of courage that young woman stood up and standing up for her country rather than these cowards around her. I mean, these guys, she laid out with these guys. Didn't have the courage to come up and speak out when they knew full well that they should. I mean, Flynn not saying, "Oh, I believe in a peaceful transfer of power." How is that not just a given? I mean, how is that? You have to answer the Fifth Amendment to that one.
Well, keep in mind, you've never really. Don't forget, Mark, you've never really had to go and render a Turkish cleric before. So, you got to remember the mindset of this guy. So he's never really understood a clear transfer of power, apparently, having never worked in the White House before. So he worked for
President Obama.
Yeah, that's right. He knew how to. Wait, wow, that's interesting.
And we should have known something was up because Trump was not, doing any kind of transition team material. I mean, so the Biden administration comes on more or less blindsided by a whole hell of a lot of issues that, in past administrations, you say, well, this is what you got to watch for. This is what you got to watch for.
Two things, Mark. One, would you ever trust them to put together a compilation of any sort of information? One, and two, if they ever did, would you trust that any of that was accurate, or would you spend most of your time vetting it out, which is really what they wanted you to do in the first place?
I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't trust Trump as far as I could heave him, and that wouldn't be very far. I mean, I couldn't heave him a couple of inches because
the Secret Service had no problem just swatting his little meaty, flabby arm off of him. freaking ham hands going on my clavicle. That just like now the guy's pissed because he's got to go and take a shower and get his stuff dry cleaned. Like that's, I mean, yes, the White House would pay for it. I get that. It's part of the Secret Service thing. But again, he's going to have fry stains on there. And that stuff, just trust me, as a family who has stains right on the top of our stomach, you can tell you're at a family event because all of us have some sort of, like, no matter what, like I'll get through the hot dog completely, like, and I'll be conscious of the whole thing. And magically, like, something will happen.
Yeah. I'm the same way, man.
And then, like, a piece of mustard will fall, and I'll just,
Kelsey looks at me and she just goes, I can't take you anywhere. She
I held
the
plate underneath my face the entire time.
And still
somehow there was
somewhere.
A pinhole where the mustard leaked through and was like, we got it.
Yeah, we appreciate your call, Mark. You can be like Mark. Give us a call. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're taking initial reactions for the pretty shocking testimony provided by Cassidy Hutchinson earlier today before the U.S. House Select Committee on January 6th. And...
I just want to clarify that statement. I don't think that Trump would have a mustard stain. I don't think he can handle the mustard. Let's just say that. I think it's a ketchup only, sweets and salty, if that. And maybe pepper's a little too much for the child. But let's move on.
We'll move on. But yeah, I mean, the testimony of his demeanor and the vehicle leaving the speech that he gave on January 6th at the Ellipse being... furious that he was not being taken in the presidential motorcade to the Capitol. But Brian, we found out as well that after the events, like while the violence was being committed at the Capitol and when Trump and his team were back at the White House, there was nothing really being done by the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, or his team to address the violence that was occurring.
He had a killer game of something going on in his phone.
He couldn't look away from his phone, which is
really important.
It's funny because we know now that there's text messages coming in from Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, a variety of different hosts from Fox News were trying to communicate with the White House, just like Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, to have Trump call it off. And Mark Meadows was sitting there and apparently just glued to his phone and seeing what's going on in the TV, but not reacting a whole lot, but keeping his distance from the dining room in the executive offices of the West Wing, where Trump was watching on TV.
Like, was he doing like an OnlyFans thing? Like he had to finish the recording or something? Like was his back turned? I don't know. Like what is so important on your phone?
I think he was immobilized, not knowing what to do. He was such a weak man at the time where he was hopeful that the presidential detail of the Secret Service, the lead on Trump's detail, was going to be the one that tells Trump that he couldn't take him to the Capitol, because from what Cassidy Hutchinson's alluded to, it was her belief that when Meadows got in his car and Trump got into his car, that Meadows just knew that he was going to be taking the president back to the Oval Office in the West Wing, despite the fact of not actually being able to tell him and stand up to him, saying, no, we can't do that with the Secret Service. We're not going up to the Capitol. Mark Meadows was an enabler the entire time. He was a yes man. That's why he had that job of White House Chief of Staff.
This is why Trump clears the entire... This is what authoritarians do. They clear out the entire... anybody who is an expert at anything, anybody who's been there a long time, anybody who has any idea
anybody
how the government
stand up to
is
you
supposed
as well.
To run, anybody who doesn't say yes, and then when real things happen, like, I don't know, the insurrection...
A violent
or
coup.
The pandemic, you're completely left unprepared. Because you have a weak person who can't stand strong people around him, and that weak person basically almost got away with it, but it was too weak to actually do anything really good or plan anything actually effective.
I disagree on that one, Brian. I think he planned an extremely effective attack, and the fact that it didn't go through is because of a very few people in few spots actually did stand up to him. Over at the Department of Justice, Cassidy Hutchinson sharing her testimony now. We had one conservative Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin stand up to an attempt to overturn the 2020 election results in our state. I'll remind everyone that the three conservative justices, every conservative justice besides Brian Hagedorn, said, yeah, we'll take the case. We'll flip the election results. We'll say that there was enough fraudulent votes in Madison and Milwaukee that we'll throw it back to the gerrymandered state legislature and they'll decide who the electors are for the state of Wisconsin. Oh, wait, perfect. The Republicans have, you know, a fraudulent slate already signed, sealed, and delivered from December 14th. That works perfectly. The Supreme Court in Wisconsin was prepared to play its role in overturning the state's election results for the former president. But a few people acted accordingly and in accordance with the Constitution to be able to stand up to the former president.
Can you imagine? And by the way, you remember when I asked you, hey, what would happen if Evers lost and a Republican won? Well, the GOP had a debate last night, and they had a hard time answering a yes or no question. That's not good.
That they did. They couldn't even say yes or no if the it was a conservative talk show host that was hosting the debate, moderating the debate, Brian.
Because a weak little boy can't admit that he lost.
And none of them are going to get the endorsement. The guy that got the endorsement from the former guy wasn't even at the debate.
And they're still sucking
zero
up
zero ramifications.
That's
they're not
how weak
get
these
the
people are.
That's My how weak goodness. The former lieutenant governor and a former statewide candidate and a state representative are.
They're still sucking up to a person. And his cult followers
already gave his flowers to somebody else.
But really, I'm pining for them.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. The phone lines are lighting up. We're going to get to your calls in this next segment. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
It's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian. We're taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison, as well as WTTN 1580 AM out of Columbus, the Shaw 101 FM out in Waukesha, and WAUK 540 AM in Jackson, Wisconsin.
Before we get there, I do want to play this sound.
Yeah,
I want to play this sound of the GOP debate last night. Or was it last night?
It was last night in Green Bay. I believe it was a private charter school that hosted the event. A conservative talk show host, Joe.
I'm sure people of all different types were there, and all different probably whitenesses were available. Anyway, let's.
I didn't see any pictures of the audience, so I can't talk on that. But I did.
When I close my eyes, I don't see dark skinned people.
I saw the video clip, Brian. Like right before we were going on the air, obviously you and I were monitoring the House Select Committee hearings because we were broadcasting them live here on Devil Radio and on the Shaw, and so we were keeping an eye out for that. But I was like. As they started to wrap up, I could tell that we were going to be putting on a show today. And I was like, all right, let's see what other headlines are going on out there. And our friends over at the Heartland Signal, digital newsroom here in the Midwest, put up this clip of the it's about a minute from the Republican gubernatorial debate last night. Again, Tim Michaels not in attendance. He had other campaign events going on.
The guy who
the last guy to enter the last guy to enter the race. The guy that got the endorsement from the former president, and the guy that is technically the front runner from the latest Marquette University Law School polling. It was within the margin of error his lead was, but he was leading. He had the highest percentage in that most recent polling. That guy decided to skip the debate.
He couldn't get a charter from Connecticut, so.
I was going to say, to be fair, it's very hard to, you know, make that commute from Connecticut to Green Bay at a moment's notice, Brian.
Yeah, he couldn't get the hot air balloon there fast enough. Anyway.
let's share the
pay
sound
no attention to the idiot behind the curtain. So here's the two people there still trying to get Donald Trump's endorsement. Check this out. They can't answer a simple question.
Mrs. Clavish. Again, please begin with yes or no, and then you may elaborate from there.
Joe, I've answered this question on your show before, and I said that the 2020 election was
rigged. You have to begin with
rigged.
A yes or no. It's a yes or no answer, then continue.
I've answered this question before on your show, and I've said that the election was rigged from the very beginning. And then I cited evidence after evidence.
No, you haven't cited any evidence whatsoever.
A yes or no must be the first answer. I'll give you one more chance, or I have to move to the next person. We're enforcing that rule with everyone. A simple yes or no, and then you can elaborate from there.
Joe, I've answered this question
All right.
on your show
I'm sorry.
Three strikes and you're out.
And you still haven't given any evidence.
I was very clear on the rules. Please cut the mic. Mr. Nicholson, you get the question. If you do not answer with a yes or no, we will cut your mic as well.
Joe, illegal conduct occurred, but I'll stop right there.
So that's the only answer you want to give. All right.
I can elaborate, but I don't think you...
No, it's either yes or no, or and then move forward from there.
They cannot answer definitively yes or no to the question, was the 2020 election stolen?
Yeah, but they can say it's rigged, but you can't say it's stolen. They can say things improper, whatever. I don't. Kevin Nicholson, all I see is him walking, usually just walking away in my mind.
Through a field. But, just through a field.
Through a group of people that are parting for him so he can exit as soon as possible. my goodness, what a bunch of weak people. Just get over yourselves, move on. Like you know what? If you're going to go and do that and say yes or ignore the question, just say, you know what? I'd rather talk about things that we're going to do. Or I'd rather talk about, you know, my plan for the future. Or anything good whatsoever besides I'm weak and it was stolen and I'm showing how strong I am by perpetuating a lie that was proven by even conservative sources.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty said no widespread voter fraud.
Yeah. Well, you know, they
liberal voice of Wisconsin, right? Wisconsin
they pulled all they pulled all the minorities in the room, and the minority group in the room said nothing because there were none there. All right, let's talk to Dick in Madison. How you doing, Dick? Dick in Madison.
Do we have you, Dick?
Sounds good, pal. We'll put you on hold.
We'll put you on hold.
All right, let's go to Joe in Madison. Joe, how are you, Joe?
Well, fascinating day. Several points kind of came across to me that I thought was sort of fascinating. First off, I have to applaud you, brilliant one, Brian, this last little bump out you had early on in the show where you were talking about Trump and his attempt to overtake the Secret Service agent who was driving, and he ran the little song, "Don't Drive Angry."
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
Well, at best, he's basically sitting on the guy's lap. Like, how is he going to...
Yes.
What were you going to do?
Yeah, is he going to elbow him out of the way and grab the wheel?
There's no way he was going over the center council, Joe. I don't know what in his mind he thought he could do other than maybe by, like, grabbing the wheel, trying to get the Secret Service agent driving him to slam on the brakes, and then he could maybe negotiate from there. But I don't know.
His foreign policy is based on his knowledge of Sicario 2, Day of the Soldat, so... He may have thought he was in some sort of action movie at the time.
Right. And making some attempts. And some have argued, okay, well, he just grabbed a Secret Service guy. You know, he grabbed him around the throat, apparently. Is this assault against a Secret Service guy? And what is the Secret Service guy? What is he allowed to do to subdue the president? Could he tase the president to get him to stop? Could he take out his gun and, you know, get him, kneecap him to get the president to stop? It's a really interesting point that in the ludicrousness of all of this, in this very, very serious, this is critical for our democracy. And here's this knob who's throwing sandwiches or, you know, his hamburgers against the wall, this sort of thing. I think
hockey puck of a steak.
Looking at. Yeah, it's something that dribbles, and, you know, why not just put a frame around it and say, here's the wall art created by Trump. Do give him the respect he deserves.
It would have been the only thing he's actually created in his life.
Exactly. The nice little portrait on the wall via hamburger. I think it was interesting when they related that Trump's words were, Mike deserves it, and I don't think they're doing anything wrong. What an amazing thing to say.
Well, that was Mark Meadows saying,
we love you.
Is you saw his tweet. He believes that Mike Pence deserved what the mob was coming to do.
To hang him. And I think, right, and to look at the narrative of what this committee put together, because they concluded this day with examples of people who stood up and did the right thing, starting with this 25-year-old woman, for God's sakes, who said, as an American, I was disgusted. And then also profiling that guy who said he looked at the tweet that Trump sent out and said, that's it, I'm done as of today.
And Joe, sorry to cut you off. We're coming here to the end of the show. But there was also Congresswoman Liz Cheney put into evidence of witness tampering, potentially. There were unnamed articles of threatening witnesses before they testified before the committee. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got the Devil's Advocates coming up next. If you missed any portion of the show, check out the podcast, or we'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m.
They'd never believe that Trump was a threat coming at him.
Never, apparently.
I was defending myself.
I know how you feel, but go home and go home